97.5 The Fanatic.
Good Sunday afternoon, everybody, on this Memorial Day weekend. I'm Kevin Cooney, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt and Eric behind the glass. You on the phones at 610-632-0975. Hope you're enjoying the Memorial Day holiday. I have plans, I know, late this afternoon. A little barbecue, a little cutting of the lawn. And then tomorrow, a peaceful and relaxful day. Take time to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice to our country. And Memorial Day is always a big day on the sports calendar. We'll get into this in a little bit because it's always one of the great traditions of sports is Memorial Day weekend. The Indianapolis 500 is going to get started in roughly about 20 minutes. Big motor racing day if you're a motor racing fan. But in this town, it means one thing usually, and it's time to look at the baseball team. Because the Memorial Day holiday is traditionally the point where you have a feel how the rest of the summer goes. We're no longer in small sample size theater, okay? Phillies have played 52 games to this point, okay? They are entering the night. Sunday night game against the Braves, 25-27. And you would say, well, you know, for defending National League champion, you're fourth place, you're six back of Atlanta. Man, what's wrong? What, you know, feels like it's been a bit of a disaster. But you got to look at it in perspective. Here's the perspective. If you had said on March 20th in Clearwater, okay, no Rhys Hoskins for the whole year. You're somehow going to get Bryce Harper back in early May as opposed to the All-Star break or even what the theory was at that point, maybe mid-June. Okay? Your most reliable starting pitcher is really not reliable, and that's Aaron Nola. Okay? You would have Edmundo Sosa in the lineup more games than not. Trey Turner would be hitting 50 points below what he normally hits as his career average. Kyle Schwarber's batting average on Memorial Day weekend would be 166. The outfield would have be a defensive mess. You would think this team would be buried in this division especially. And yet here they are, six games out, another one with the Braves tonight, nine more with the Braves for the season. Haven't really played the Mets. You haven't played the Mets. You haven't been able to feast on the Nationals yet. And the Marlins, who are quote-unquote ahead of you right now, right? The Marlins are not going to stay a 500 baseball team. The numbers are telling you that. They've just kind of had a lot of dumb luck. So when we look at this baseball team right now, and we look at the Phillies through 52 games, almost a third of the season, and now's the time you start evaluating where they need to go. And it's a different year. It's a different year because of this. I can tell you that every year you go, well, they need a bullpen piece. They probably need a couple bats off the bench, and they still do need that. Cody Clemens has been a surprise. But they need either a first baseman or a third baseman. You either need to move Alec Boehm over to first base permanently for the rest of the year, or you got to get him back a third and get a full-time first baseman, at least through the end of the year. And most importantly, you got to get at least one, maybe two, starting pitchers. If you don't get that, then all I'm saying here that's pie in the sky and thinking that this team is going to contend, and I think they will, is not going to matter. It's not going to matter. this first 52 games has revealed a lot of holes in this baseball team. And it's not the usual areas. The usual area from this from the Phillies is the fact that their bullpen is going to be shaky, lousy. Their bullpen's held themselves above water. And what also has made it interesting to me is they've done it without maybe their second best reliever in Jose Alvarado for at least 3 weeks and probably going to be a little bit more. Not going to see him here on the rest of the trip. I don't think you'll see him until maybe go out west again. So for the Phillies to be this close is a good thing. But it's also, don't fool yourself into thinking that they're just going to take off and surge. They need some help. They need their GM to get them their help. The help they need is the starting pitching. The help they really need is Aaron Nola to remember what he is supposed to be or what he hopes to be next year on the free agent market, and that is a number one or number two starter. I think what you've seen, though, is, and what we've seen actually in key moments over the last couple of years, is Aaron Nola's not really that. Maybe the best thing that happened to the Phillies in the spring training was the idea that Aaron Nola didn't sign that contract. Because that contract, I don't think, is going to age well. Whoever gets him, he's been pretty healthy. He's been pretty durable. He's been a big innings eater for most of his career. I don't see that playing out going forward. And yes, this sounds strange to say for a team I think is going to be in contention. If you have to make a major move at the deadline, or if you fall back at the deadline, I'd think about renting Aaron Nola out to somebody else. It's not ideal. I'm not doing it unless I pretty much think that my shot at getting into the playoffs is gone. But all things are on the table for this team. This morning they wake up, according to Baseball Reference, with a 26% chance of making the playoffs. That feels kind of low for what they should be. I think they'll get hot at some point. I think their schedule after July 1st really gives them a shot to take off. But if, given how lucky they've been, they are lucky to be in this spot. Let's be honest. You have Harper coming back, and Harper's looked well since he's come back. Maybe Trey Turner's starting to turn the corner. They need Schwarber to get going, and they need to find an answer in the corners. Because if they don't, eventually, counting on what happened last year to happen again, that's asking a lot. Matthew, how are you?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm good. You were here late last night.
Yeah, we had Union match.
Soccer, right?
It was worth it because they won. Big 3-1 win.
Against New York up at Citi Field?
Yes.
NYCFC.
NYCFC. That was their first loss at Citi Field. NYCFC
really?
Playing in that stadium. Yeah, so.
I know they're trying to build a stadium up there, too.
Yeah. Normally they play at Yankee Stadium, but the Yankees were at home, so they played at Citi Field, so.
It's good.
Union didn't matter. They took care of business.
It's a good back and forth they got between Yankee Stadium and Citi Field.
Yeah.
Kind of where's your head with this baseball team at this point? I mean, to me, like, people have panicked and everything. I don't think it's time to panic, but there's concerns here going forward.
Oh, there definitely are. But I think they've gotten lucky in a way with the parity that's throughout the National League right now. Like, they're two games away from being the fourth best record in the NL, mm-hmm. but they're also 2.5 games away from having the worst record in the NL. So it's bunched together throughout the whole NL. But the thing is, they have to take advantage of that. So they can't, while they're struggling or while they're trying to find their way, they're benefiting from a team like San Diego, they were supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball this year. They're underachieving. St. Louis is underachieving, even mm-hmm. though for some reason they seem to come on late every year. Milwaukee, they're two games above 500.
And even St. Louis has come back from where they were, which was they were in the pits. They were the worst team in the National League through April. the end of April.
Yeah.
And now they're four back in Milwaukee in the division.
And everything you laid out with the pitching being a struggle, injuries, not really having a solid third baseman or a steady third baseman, and you have to move your third baseman to first because your first baseman's out. I think with all of that, 25 and 27, it could be much worse than it is right now.
Mm-hmm. And a tough schedule. I mean, you've basically made, you've made two West Coast trips already. Texas became a better team than anybody expected. That was your opener.
Yes.
You went to Houston. You went to the Dodgers. I mean, they've hung in there.
They have. And if you take away some of those games where, some of those series where they got annihilated, like Texas and the Dodgers, their run differential really isn't, it's much closer than it is. It could, so they're playing average baseball. They're playing, they're average right now, but what the barometer that everybody says, oh, we have to, at Memorial Day, we'll see where they are. We would want them to be a little better, maybe have 30 wins by now, but considering everything that they've had to deal with, I think they're in a good spot, and I think that they could move forward with this team as long as they don't fall far behind, because other teams might get hot. They don't want to be behind the curve when it comes to that. So,
and think of it. It's, they're on their third first baseman. Darren Call went on the 60-day, right on that second series up in New York when he bust his thumb up.
Yeah, that's right. Derek Hall, too. And Cody Clemens, who some people didn't even think would make the roster, has now been a first baseman.
And he's been decent.
He has. He's been much better. I made the joke earlier in the season, who would, by the end of this year, who's going to have a higher career batting average, Cody or Roger Clemens? And I'm probably wrong because it's going to be, it'll probably be Cody.
Cody. Roger didn't get too many swings at that point because he was all American League until you went to the Astros.
Right, but their career batting average was pretty close at the beginning of the year. But I'm happy with the way Cody Clemens, he's playing like a bench player should play. I mean, he has some decent moments and he's been solid. He's not somebody that you're going to rely on the whole year or want to have to rely on the whole year, but he does the job when he needs to.
And I think people forget that October was a great deodorant for this team. They were still too many strikeouts. They were still awful defensively. And that wasn't changing. They weren't going to wake up and be like the 85 Cardinals, where it's like, you know, Vince Coleman covering alleys, you know, from left to right. I mean, it just wasn't going to happen. But I think that's one area I would say defensively, they're pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. That's something that they definitely have to work on. And the fact that Bryce is, I know they're talking about him playing first and he's just coming back from injury.
I wouldn't do that this year, but that's me.
Last year, the thought was you'd be able to platoon like Schwarber, Castellanos, Harper at DH.
They even Real Muto. Even Real Muto, if you wanted to.
Give him a break.
Right.
You haven't been able to do that at all since you signed these guys, and you probably won't be able to this year because you have Reese is out now.
Yeah.
And we don't know his story next year.
And Real Muto, well, we'll get into that a little later on. But Real Muto, it's interesting because he's played 46 of 52 games. You got to tone it back. I get that you need him in the lineup and you need him as a, you know, Garrett Stubbs is not awful.
No, he's not. He's not awful. And you don't, but you don't want to burn out JT.
And I think that's the one risk I see right now for them is they could burn him out real quick.
Yeah. Last year he caught more innings than any catcher in baseball. You don't want that. I know he's the best catcher in baseball, but there comes to a point where you want him to be fresh and productive at the end of the year if you need to make a push. And I know that he was at his best in the second half of the year last year, but, you know, you want him to be have a little energy. And yet, Garrett Stubbs, he's a decent replacement. He brings a lot of energy to the team.
I mean,
looks like he's 12 out there, but, I mean, he's
Garrett
a
Stubbs,
decent player.
Garrett Stubbs has 31 at-bats. Through on Memorial Day. That's not enough.
No. And he's shown that he could come through in certain moments. I mean, he had some big hits last year, early in the season.
And I'm not saying, look, Realmuto should start as often as he can, but there's a point where you do have to. Rob Thompson, one area, and we'll get to a break here in a second. Rob Thompson, all the good things he did last year, there's been some things that have popped up this year which are alarming. I think the overuse of Realmuto and the overuse of his bullpen are, now some of that's been forced upon him because the starters haven't been going super deep, although there was a strange stat from Corey Simon we'll get into on the other side of the break about the starters, which I didn't believe until I read it. You can join us, Phillies Talk on the Table, 610-632-0975. We'll also get into Celtics and Heat game, going to a game 7 after a wild ending last night. We'll get into that a little later on. Also, I want to get into your favorite traditions in sports. As we mentioned, today is Indy 500 Day. All the pomp and circumstance of back home again in Indiana and the balloons and taps and the Memorial Day tradition that is the Indy 500. There are a lot of them, and it got me thinking to some of them. And Matt and I'm sure, will talk about that. Not just the event, it's some of the different aspects of an event that we all love. And if you have any opinions on it, 610-632-0975. On this Sunday afternoon, or here till 3 o'clock, Matt Manerick and Kevin Cooney on a Sunday on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Experience thrills and make a splash with the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Get one same-day ride and water park ticket from Maury's Pier for $70. That's unlimited rides on all three piers and access to both water parks. Check it out now at 97.5thefanatic.com. The keyword is deal, D-E-A-L. Get your combo ticket before they're gone. Supplies are very limited. Kevin Cooney and Matt Manerick here on a Sunday afternoon. Boy, the guy who did the Baxter ad, that was an awesome sounding guy.
That dude sucks, man.
He is awesome. God. Oh, my God. He was great.
Makes you want to get a Baxter and throw him
That's
in.
That's right. Huh? We're talking Phillies here to start. Get into some Celtics and Heat later on. They'll go to game 7 tomorrow. I have an interesting Taylor Swift story, which is kind of, I'll tell you in the 2 o'clock hour.
All right.
Which defies logic for me. I think you know where this is going.
It could be a lot of things. The fans,
It involves tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. But we'll start with Tom from Alabama on the phones. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Tom.
Yo, Cooney. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, Matt. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. The thing is, I'm with you on a couple things, Koenig. Number one, Thompson, the things he, I don't know if he did it last year or not, but it's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, analytically driven or not, making out lineups 3, 4, 5 days in advance. I've been watching baseball over 50 years, never heard anything like that deal. The Phillies with Marsh, Stott, Bohm and Turner, those guys can fly, man. And Realmuto's still leading the league and stealing bases, or the team, rather. And they haven't been on enough, really, to steal. But the thing you were saying about Nola, and he's a great pitcher. He's got a beautiful delivery, a windup, and he can, you know, the ball dips. But
right.
I think that you're the first person that I've heard say what I've said about 5 or 6 times before the season started. At the deadline, you just said 26%. I don't care what the percent is. We need to get something for him because we're not going to sign him and somebody's going to be dumb enough to throw him
But Tom, if you're in contention, you're not going to trade them.
Yeah. See, we're so depleted, but in the
starting... if they fall off the cliff in June, yeah, I could see it happening. Because you're right. I don't see him back here next year. I heard, actually, Brandon on with D talk about the fact that he thinks either only one of either Hoskins or Nola will be back. And I think it's more likely you get Hoskins back because of the fact that the contract is going to be a show-me contract than Nola's going to be.
They'll probably give him a one-year deal, Hoskins, if he stays.
Yeah, and I think he wants to be back here if he can, too.
You know, and I think that's a good point that you just said, because I think Nola, that it would do him a good, a change of scenery, man. I know we're tough and all, but we demand it. But if he's asking for $200 million, brother, I'm going to be demanding something too. You know what I mean?
It was funny because Alex Coffey's story in the Inquirer, I guess it was yesterday after a start, was the idea of him talking about how much he enjoys pitching here and how much he enjoys being here and everything. And he enjoys the feedback he even gets from fans. And I get, you know, look, most guys do say that. I get that. But the one thing about him is his body language. I don't know if, Matt, you've observed this. His body language when things go off the rails is awful. Like, I jokingly call him Droopy Dog.
Yeah, it does look like that.
I mean, so do I really want to spend that much money on a guy who I worry about in big spots? No. If you're spending that kind of money, I want a guy who's more proven.
Weak mindset. I hate it worse than anything in an athlete. And I'll tell you, you were talking about Realmuto. That guy's a straight ball player, man, with a calm demeanor.
He's a throwback. That's for sure. He's back to the old Johnny Bench, Carlton Fisk play every day mode. But I don't know if that's a good idea either.
Well, he's not like all. He doesn't get excited. He stays on the same demeanor. And the thing is, he's tough. I would, you know, you were talking about he needs some rest. Well, it wouldn't be so much rest. I would stick him on first base for 10, 15.
He doesn't like playing it.
Yeah, all right.
No. Everybody I've talked to say he is not super comfortable over there.
Yeah.
That he'll do it, but he prefers not to.
You know what the deal is with Painter? Do you have a status?
When I was down there Tuesday, actually, Topper talked about it and said that he was still throwing, I think it was at 120 feet to build up arm strength. I wouldn't expect Painter back until after the All-Star break at this point. And if he does come back, I wouldn't expect him necessarily to be a starter. I could see them throwing him in the bullpen as like as one of them like fifth inning guys that they use just for the quick burst.
Well, if they took this much time with him,
Don't ruin him. He's too important, and especially if you're going to lose Nola, Tom. You better have him next year and ready to go.
Right.
So, Tom, do you have any traditions in sports that you love that stand out?
I just like when the players shake hands, at the end of the hockey series.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one I was going to bring up. And, Tom, I appreciate it. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You guys, too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the hockey handshake is among the coolest things at the end of a Stanley Cup playoff series.
Yeah, that's definitely a tradition that stuck around. I don't know if they've ever done it in Major League Baseball, but I remember like playing Little League and all that stuff.
They did that in the Little League Classic, actually.
Yeah, I remember we did that when I played baseball as a kid. We did, and I think that would be
pretty cool.
Pretty cool thing to do, just to show each other respect. I know there's certain times where there's a walk off, and you know the other team just wants to get out of there, and you're celebrating. But typically, I mean, yeah, it's just a sign of respect.
You know, and the thing with hockey is that the fact that they bloody each other up. I mean, you know, if you watched Vegas and Dallas last night, that was Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That was just a brutally physical game. And Dallas kind of like, you know, the Celtics are getting all the attention from coming back from 0-3. Dallas has come back from 0-3 down to get 3-2 and going back home. So Vegas is a bit of trouble right now as well, kind of like the Heat are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives the Panthers a little more time to rest.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup Final won't start now until Thursday.
Yeah.
So, no matter what.
Yeah, it's pretty – I don't know what's more intriguing, Panthers and Stars or Panthers and Golden Knights, but I guess just a team that's at the – that was the last team. I mean, there's teams in the other conference that had a better record than the Panthers, I think, that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Panthers, obviously, you know, last year we all got roped into following Florida once Claude Giroux got traded there. And then Giroux left in free agency, and I think everybody thought, oh, they're taking a step back. Matt Tkachuk has been incredible for them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're an organization that has gone through a lot. You know, they hired Joel Quenneville, and then they had to fire him because of what Quenneville's revelations of what happened with the Blackhawks and what he covered up as far as, you know, misconduct. And Paul Maurice, who is a hockey lifer who's been around forever, gets the job. Team underachieves most of the regular season, and yet here they are, four wins away from a cup and probably playing the best of anybody.
Oh, yeah.
At this point.
And that's what it's all about. You don't have to be the best. You just got to be the hottest.
That's what the Stanley Cup playoffs is. Like, the Stanley Cup playoffs is so wild because you have this type of story. It feels like every other year, every third year. The NBA is pretty predictable. Like, if you end up, we might as well get into the Celtic talk now. If you end up with Celtics and Nuggets, I don't think, if you had said at the beginning of the playoffs, okay, it's going to be Celtics and Nuggets for the NBA title, nobody would have been surprised.
No, not at all.
I mean, you figure Milwaukee would have probably battled Boston. I don't, maybe Phoenix over Denver. You know, maybe you could have made those cases, but nobody would have been super surprised by that matchup.
No, because that would have been the one against two seeds. So
right.
You would have just thought, what would have been surprising is you would have thought, yeah, like you said, the Celtics would have beat the Bucks, not the Heat. Because if you said, oh, the Heat are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, you'd have been like, okay, I'll take those odds.
But the way Boston has done it.
Yeah.
And winning now five elimination games, three of them on the road, and going tomorrow night to become the first team in 150 tries to come back from 0-3 down. Now, four others have forced it to a game seven, but all of them were on the road. Boston is the first one ever to get it on their home court.
Yeah, I'm worried about tomorrow. I hate Boston, everything about their sports teams, and I'm worried. I don't think the Heat have anything left.
I don't, you know, it was a comment, and I made to Brendan, and I think I made it to you because you were in here doing the you were in here doing the union one night. I said, you don't lose, like when the Sixers lost game six, you don't lose a chance like that and bounce back and win game seven on the road.
No.
Like, history tells you that. I kind of feel the same way with Miami because literally 0.2 seconds. If they don't adjust the clock, the way they did, then the Boston Celtics are home. And you're getting ready for Wednesday night, and it's Nuggets and Miami, and Denver's going to be an overwhelming favorite. Now, you know, if you're Denver, you're getting ready to fly out to Boston on short notice to get ready for game one on Wednesday night. I mean, this feels to me like the Celtics somehow have gotten so much momentum after being, you know, shovels of dirt thrown on them. You know, Dan Shaughnessy, after they fall behind 0-3, I remember reading his column in the Boston Globe. Dan Shaughnessy's like, you know, I learned in 0-4 after the Red Sox came back and beat the Yankees never to throw a team out. But they felt like they quit in game three. And the fact that they're back at getting a game seven at home is pretty remarable.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. I didn't think they'd have a shot. I mean, because just going down 3-0, that just does something to your psyche to begin with.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be one of the best teams in basketball. You're getting smoked by the number 8 seed. And I know...
Well, and we talked about this yesterday. I think Miami overachieved in a lot of ways. I think that Miami probably was never as good as they looked when they went up 3-0. And I'm not sure they look as bad as they did at points last night. In the first half especially, they were awful. and they come back and they rally and, you know, they actually take the lead. And but the idea that you lead the back, how do you not? It's like one of the oldest basketball things ever. Somebody take the inbounder.
Yeah.
How is Derek White running that open?
That's a good question.
And it's not like he was right under the basket and it fell in his hands. He went from like quarter court in 2 seconds to the lane. Like, not a body on him.
And you can't have, I think the biggest issue is Jimmy Butler has to be your best player.
Yeah.
And Caleb Martin has had a great series.
And Bam Adebayo has to be the second best player, and he hasn't shown up either.
Yeah, Caleb Martin can't be the best player on your team. While he's playing a good third role, say like a Tobias role or something, but he can't be your best player on the team. Jimmy has to, he can't take over a game like Butler can. And that's the biggest issue. I think Butler shot like 25% yesterday. Yeah. You can't have that and expect to win a series or a game against a team like Boston.
Nah.
So unless, you know, we see that Jimmy Butler that you saw earlier in the season and or earlier in the series and earlier in the playoffs, they don't have a shot because everything's going to rely on the play of Butler.
And everything in this town always gets back when you're talking NBA back to the Sixers.
Always.
Always. I don't see how you can look at these two teams or Denver and think the Sixers are even close to being in that ballpark. Not close.
Talent-wise, I think...
No.
I think their starting lineups can match up talent-wise, but performance-wise, no. They're
how about ticker-wise? How about the inner guts you need to win a title, which this team doesn't have?
Every other game. But that doesn't help.
No.
Because you see...
Because ultimately you lose in seven.
Right. And what still I don't get is Harden's demeanor in the certain games. The ones where he was terrible and the ones where he was great, just his demeanor and confidence visibly was different, but nothing changed on the court. Like, there was no reason for him not to be confident or overconfident. I mean, everything on the court was the same. Why was his mentality different?
And the one thing, and Dee mentioned it yesterday, when you look at the Heat, Jimmy's the leader.
Oh, 100%.
When you look at Boston, you could look at Smart. You could look at Tatum. I don't think Jaylen Brown necessarily. And there are times he's a strange player to me. There are times he looks awesome. There are times you go, dude, what are you doing? The Sixers have nobody like any of those guys as far as willing to maybe call their teammates into account when they mess up. P.J. Tucker's the one guy, maybe, but it's P.J. Tucker. You know, Marcus Smart is P.J. Tucker with the ability to still play. You know, and that's not a... That sounds awful to say about P.J. Tucker, but P.J. Tucker's probably on a good team of six man. Marcus Smart's a legitimate NBA starter.
Yeah, and I mean, they have two different roles. They're two different positions, too. I mean, P.J. Tucker's supposed to be the grinder, the tough, under-the-basket type player. Smart is supposed to be more the distributor.
Distributor, right. Ed in Elkins Park wants to talk Celtics and Heat. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Ed.
Yes, looking at today's Sunday Inquirer, and they listed the roster, the Sixers roster, and my immediate thought, Duncan Robinson and Caleb Martin are better than anybody besides Embiid on the team. Obviously, or maybe
Whoa. You think Duncan Robinson's better than Tyrese Maxey?
No. I said except for Massey. Everybody else on that roster.
No, you said Embiid.
No, those two. Just Embiid and Massey.
Okay.
Everybody else, I'll take Caleb Martin. I'll take Duncan Robinson. I'll take the guard from the guard who starts. I'll take everybody. And same thing with Boston. I'll take like eight players are better except for Embiid and and Tyrone. And so how are we ever going to get be above them? We can't. We're going to be like the New Jersey Nets, Cleveland Cavaliers, New York Knicks. They're all, I mean, they'll be better than us next year. Will we make the playoffs next year?
Yeah, don't make the playoffs.
Well, why? There's not much talent.
Why? Because have you seen what the bottom of the East looks like? You want to tell me they're going to fall back to six? I can live with it because of Cleveland.
Eighth.
Okay. Now. Okay. All right. Let me. Boston, Milwaukee, Miami.
Are better.
I'll give you Cleveland can make a surge upward. Another year with Donovan Mitchell in that group. Yeah. The Knicks, I don't know what Julius Randle's status is going to be. I don't. I mean, now if they get Lillard, yeah, okay, fine. Then I'll put the Knicks there. Then
how about the Nets?
No.
No?
They were an under 500 team after that trade. The only reason they made the playoffs was because of the cushion that they had built after they with Irvin and Durant.
So you're putting everything on Embiid then? But he's only a regular.
I'm not putting anything on Embiid. I'm putting that their talent between Embiid and Maxey. Let's assume Tobias is back. Let's assume Harden's gone. Yeah, I think that they're good enough still to get to that level. Well, okay, a sixth seed is not something to brag about.
No, that's what I'm saying. But they're not going to stay in the top three anymore. That's what I'm saying.
No, they're not going to be in the top three.
They're going down, downward.
Yeah, they're not going to win 52 games, probably.
And they probably might not even make the second round. First round exit, maybe.
Probably.
Probably.
No, maybe. I mean, you know, look, and Ed, thanks for the call. Then the questions really begin. The questions at that point really begin for the Sixers. If you go out in the first or second round and you fall, let's say, to a five. Let's go five. I'm not ready to put the Knicks there yet, okay? Let's say you get leaped by Cleveland and Miami's back to what they should be. Does Joe ask out?
It's quite possible. It might get to that point at some point where he just doesn't see progression with the team, thinking that he might just not get his shot at a championship with the Sixers.
And Tyrese,
that's why this is the biggest offseason for Morey's.
And I want to see how creative he gets, because it was funny. Keith Pompey was on last week with Pat and Jamie on the weekend. And Pompey said that the one thing, if you're talking to Daryl Morey at this point, if you're another team, who's the first person you're asking for?
Embiid?
No, you're asking for Maxey.
Oh, Maxey, yeah.
Because of the idea that Maxey's affordable. He's still the last year of his rookie contract. And everybody has seen him break out. And you got to figure that maybe you catch the Sixers at a point of vulnerability. Like, if you're Portland and you're looking for to trade, if Damian Lillard's going to be on the block, first person you're asking for is Maxey.
Oh, 100%.
Now, would you do that? I think you almost have to appease Embiid.
Yeah, and that just...
And that's a dangerous road you go down.
Yeah, because that means you absolutely have to win now. Because if you're giving away your best young player on the team, you better win with whoever you're going to get back, if it's Lillard or whoever you might be going after. Because if that doesn't happen, then that sets you back years, because you don't have any draft picks. Who are you going to get that's young? And if your best young player is gone and Lillard's only here for 2-3 years, whatever, and you don't win a championship, yeah, you're going to be in a play-in tournament for the next few years.
You know, the irony is when this all started, they hated a second-round playoff appearance, and it was a fluke second-round playoff appearance when they went and beat Chicago and then lost to Boston at Iguodala, Evan Turner group. The high watermark of this Embiid era is probably going to be a second-round playoff appearance.
Yeah.
That's not what this was supposed to end up as.
Unless they get the right players.
Yeah.
I mean, Morey's got a lot of work to do.
And he doesn't have a lot of assets to go either. 610-632-0975. Sixers and Phillies on the docket. We'll get into a little bit of a Memorial Day roundup. We want to hear about your favorite sports traditions as we talk a lot here on this Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully it's a good one for you. Hopefully you're enjoying it with family and relaxing as we kick off the start of summer. Heck, you could be on the way to the shore. I don't know why you would, but you could be. I'm Kevin Cooney with Matt Manerick on a Sunday. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, B-52s. It was funny, Matt, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Kevin Cooney, Matt Manerick with us. My wife and I did a thing today. You know, graduation season is here. We were doing a thing today of trying to look up what the number one song in the country was on the day of your graduation. Do you remember yours?
The number one song, I'm thinking, because I graduated in 95, so the day of, that's a good question. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, there's some websites. It's basically, they do it for your birthday, but you can type in your day of your graduation. The number one song on the day of my graduation, which was June 4th, 1992, from Father Judge. By the way, Catholic League baseball champions. Congratulations. Crisscross by Jump by Crisscross.
Wow. That's a classic.
That's a classic.
Absolutely. Backwards clothes and everything. Did you wear the backwards jeans?
No. No. At Judge, we had to wear shirts and ties every day.
I mean, like, you know, after school, you flip around the pants.
Do I look like a backwards jeans guy? Anyway, Mark from South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I never did the backwards stuff either.
No, never. I never got it. It's a great song, but I never got it.
Yeah, it's just not my thing.
No, it's not.
So my Sixers point, I have a Sixers and Phillies point, and I'll give you my sports tradition or something that you guys were talking about. My Sixers point is, you know, I know that it's hard to, you know, as they say, blow it up. And I don't think that you really need to blow it up, but I think that, you know, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We've tried all these different things. We've seemingly tried the same things over and over again, but in different versions, and we've gotten the same result. So I think, for me, I've seen enough of Harden to realize that he's not the alpha guy. He's not the leader on the court that
agreed.
I need. I know that Embiid is not the leader. Now, about a week ago, I thought, wow, playoff Jimmy was the leader. But now, somehow, unfortunately, Boston has found a way to neutralize playoff Jimmy, and he doesn't exist right now.
I also wonder if playoff Jimmy ran out of gas.
He's been beat up, man. The Knicks series
really
wore him out. So, you know, that's,
they played a couple extra games with the play-in, too.
Sure have. So, for me, I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. I would go into next season, obviously, move Tobias. Unfortunately, because he's an asset, but let Harden walk. And I would go in with Melton and Maxey as my backcourt, indeed. And I would go get an athletic wing, because I think that's something that we need.
Mark, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, to be honest. That's like my number one option. I would do like a soft reset in a sense of, you know, I may even keep Tobias and kind of just let it go that way. Hope that Tobias on a prove it deal maybe gets you going or gets himself going.
If you don't keep him, then I would put Paul Reed in that position, get me an athletic wing and see what happens. And worst case scenario, you're out in the second round anyway. But for my Phillies guys, I go back probably the same time as you. I graduated in 97. So
I'm 92. So
So I've been through the Phillies of 93. I've been through the, you know, the 2000s, and I've seen this kind of thing happen. My issue right now with the Phillies is this. If we go back to Ryan Howard towards the end of his career, the last 4 or 5 years, we were complaining, this guy's hitting 221. I don't care if he hits 40 home runs. He's hitting 221. Well, guess what? I don't care if Kyle Schwarber hits 40 home runs. He's hitting 162. That's unacceptable. And the fact that somebody called in the other day and said, Turner has six steals. That's insane. I mean, I don't care if you're not hitting the ball.
Right.
If your time is off. But in this day and age where you can only have so many disengagements and it's really favoring the running game, how do you only have six steals? That's amazing to me. So I believe that, first of all, tonight's an important game because if you lose tonight, you gain no ground because you split. And it's important because you're putting,
putting Covey in tonight.
Covey in, but he's against Spencer Strider, who's a really, really good pitcher and probably.
Yeah, but Mark, if I told you on Thursday you split in Atlanta, you probably would take it.
I would take
Let's be honest.
I would take it, but right now I'm greedy, right? Because I'm like.
No, you got to get greedy. I agree with that, but. They need to get out of these seven games with the Mets and the Braves 4-3. If they do that, and the pitching matchups actually in New York kind of work in their favor. You're going to have Ranger and then you're going to have Nola. I think they'll be okay. But
Wheeler looked amazing yesterday, by the way.
If he did.
What we're going to get moving forward.
Then they'll be fine.
It wasn't just the strikeouts. It was his velocity in the top of the zone where he was normally getting whacked. So, but I know you guys got to go.
No, Mark, and I want to bring one thing up on the Turner thing. And Turner has 7 stolen bases right now. He hasn't been caught yet. I agree with you on one thing. I think their lineup construction of having Turner in front of Harper now is absolutely wrong because Turner is not stealing, I think, because he wants to keep the hole open for Harper on the left side or on the right side. You can't have that. Part of the reason you got Trey Turner was the idea of him stealing bases, and I think he's hesitant to steal because Harper's on deck. And I don't. Whenever he gets on, I want him thinking steal first. I would put Turner back at one. I would find a way, and Matt and I talked about this earlier. I actually would put Castellano second.
I
put Cassiano second, I put Harper third, and I would go Realmuto fourth, Schwarber fifth, and bump Stott down the six and go that way.
Now my tradition, my sports thing, was that what you guys said, a sports tradition?
A sports tradition. The Indy 500, obviously, with all the pomp and circumstance and all that.
So it's a tie, kind of, but it's between opening day of baseball, which it's great if you're able to go to the games, because usually during the week, but the start of the NFL season, that first Sunday, you get your lunch meat, your hoagies, you get to the house, get all your food ready, and you just park, you watch the best mention ever, which is Red Zone, and you just watch it all day. That's my tradition. That's the thing.
I appreciate it. Mark, I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the weekend.
All right,
that first one is pretty good.
Oh yeah, because this is just the beginning. You have so many weeks, before you know it, blink your eyes, season's over. But that first one, you have the whole season ahead of you. You've been pumped up since February. Yeah, there's.
I'll go slightly different. Here's another one. I love a Saturday morning. You get up in the fall. You flip on ESPN, and it's College Game Day. I love College Game Day. I think that it's. Look, Inside the NBA is the best show on television involving sports. College Game Day is too, with Corso and Davis and Herb Street and all that. And taking it on campus and seeing these different campuses going nuts for college football. And I get college football around here is not a super big deal.
No. Down south, it's enormous. But right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people like me who are Notre Dame fans or a lot of Penn State fans, but with all due respect, Temple.
Yeah, even if you're a huge Penn State and Eagles fan, you're probably going to pick the Eagles.
Yeah.
Down south, if you're a Georgia and Falcons fan,
you're picking Georgia.
Right. So it's just a different animal. SEC football is almost like NFL anyway.
Big Ten football is pretty good. I got to admit, I covered Penn State for a bit. Going to a Penn State game on a Sunday, or on a Saturday, excuse me, walking through that parking lot at Beaver Stadium, getting stuck in the two-hour traffic jam going up 322, that's pretty cool. You know, the smell is incredible, with all the tailgates. It's just
insane. I've never been to a Penn State game. I used to go to Lehigh games all the time as a kid. I've been to one South Carolina game. That was they lost to Citadel, but it was fun. It was fun to be in that atmosphere.
I've been to Penn State, I think 25 times between covering them. Like, especially when James Franklin, who's Penn State's coach, is a Neshaminy grad. So my paper, Phillies were not good. So in September, they would give me a Saturday to go up there and, cover him. And it was pretty eye-opening. It was pretty cool. The best college atmosphere, I think, is South Bend, but I'm biased. The traditions of Notre Dame, and every school has their traditions, and that is kind of cool. It was even cool, but with game day, it was cool. And do you remember when game day came to Philly for Temple Notre Dame?
It was
during the Matt Rule era.
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember.
Do you remember where they set up?
I was here. No.
Independence Hall, like on the mall.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was great. They closed Market Street off.
You can't get any more historic than that.
No.
In the whole country. You can't set up anywhere in the country better than that.
No, and they brought the Fanatic out. They brought Hooter the Owl. It was really cool. Temple sold out the Link that night. And then they played Memphis. Paxton Lynch was on the Memphis team. They played the following week, and they had about...
The Broncos' legendary quarterback?
Broncos' legendary quarterback, Paxton Lynch. And they had about 6,000 people.
Wow.
So you could tell who kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Sold the tickets that day.
Yeah, most definitely. I did find my graduation
song. Oh, okay. What is it?
Number one was... It's a Bryan Adams song, Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? That was number one in the country when I graduated.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I had Bryan Adams was the song of the year before my senior year. Was from Robin Hood, that Everything I Do one.
Oh, yeah.
My wife graduated in 1993. Hers was That's the Way Love Goes by Janet Jackson.
That's a good song.
That is a good song.
Ray texted me his song was Baby Shark.
Please tell me that's not true.
I don't know. That's what he said. If he's listening,
oh, right, done. Please, I'm going to look this up.
Baby Shark.
It is not Baby Shark. That means he's 10. Actually, that could be then. Oh, he's here.
He's here already.
He's here already. My goodness. Well, we'll talk to you at 2:45, okay? Well, we'll bring this up.
We'll get the Baby Shark.
Baby Shark, yeah. Yeah, anyway. All right, so there was a breaking news item in the NFL. I don't know if it's breaking news if this happened in March. Yes. The Raiders signed Jimmy Garoppolo to be their quarterback. Because, Josh McDaniels is a mess and everything. Pro Football Talk reports Jimmy Garoppolo failed his Raiders physical in March and could lose his entire contract. The Raiders can move on from Garoppolo at no cost if he doesn't pass a physical by the time the season starts. Now, define the season. Does that mean training camp or does that mean September 10th or whatever it is?
I would think it means training camp because you can't just, you're going to pass your physical the week before game one and think you're going to start. I would think you would need some training. So, yeah, I would imagine before training camp.
All right, so.
Got to get ready.
So, the Raiders' depth chart right now, and this obviously after Davante Adams complaining. The Raiders' depth chart right now, their second-string quarterback is Brian Hoyer.
Great, great former Patriot.
Yeah.
Brown.
Yeah. Aiden O'Connell is their third string.
Okay.
Who is?
Not sure who that is.
He's from Purdue.
Oh, he was a draft. He was a draft pick this year, right? I believe.
Not this year. Yeah, this year. Excuse me. Yeah, fourth round.
Okay.
Really? Purdue? The last Purdue quarterback that made a big impact was Drew Brees, right?
Yeah. I can't think of anybody since then.
Brian Greasy and Drew Brees, and that's Bob Greasy and Drew Brees, and that's about it. All right. Free agent quarterbacks available. You want to hear this list?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Jacob Eason.
No.
Bryce Perkins.
Nope.
Sean Mannion.
Nope.
Chase Daniel. Former Eagle legend, Chase Daniel.
No.
Joe Flacco.
No. Not to be
now, here comes the serious names. Nick Foles.
No. He's not an Eagle. He's only good when he's on the Eagles.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. I'd give him a shot.
Matt Ryan. CBS television analyst Matt Ryan.
No, I think he's done. I think he's going to be happy in the booth.
There's one left.
Who's that?
Carson Wentz.
Carson. All right, yeah. Why not? I mean, what else? If you're the Raiders, what do you
That's
have to
That's the best
lose?
Option.
Yeah, you have
That probably is the best option out of that whole bunch. Because Bridgewater will get hurt. Matt Ryan had nothing left. Like, yeah. I love the fact that he's wanting to keep the fire alive and everything. He was shot in Indianapolis.
Yeah, there's only so much. I mean, he's doing the right thing. I know he said he's officially, I'm not retired, even though he's taking this job as an analyst. But
remember Troy Aikman did that? Troy Aikman did that in like 2002. I'm not sure I'm officially retired, but I'm going to take this job with Fox to be the number two analyst. Yeah, you know what? Troy, you were retired.
Yeah,
you know,
and it doesn't matter what they say, because you could retire and come back, or say you're not retired and come back.
And
the words really don't matter. Just ask Brett Favre.
And there's the one name we mentioned in the break, the co-owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Minority owner.
The minority owner.
I don't know what percentage of the stake he has in the team, but that would be funny if he, I don't think he's able to, but if he was.
Tom Brady, we're talking.
Right, Tom Brady. And if he was able to.
How long before that rumor starts, by the way?
Oh, I wouldn't this week.
Oh, it's got him.
I mean, Brady's going to be up in the booth with his pads and shoulder pads on in uniform, the third quarterback. He's just going to come down the stairs.
He's never going to end up at a Fox booth, is he?
No. I mean, he said he wanted to take a year off because.
For his family and everything going
and he
after
wanted
the
to
divorce.
Learn. Like, I think he wanted to learn how to be an analyst and how to. Because he said he doesn't want to just jump in there. Some players, I mean, it takes them. Greg Olsen wasn't great in the beginning, but he learned.
I think Greg Olsen's great now. Well, and yeah, I think Fox would be insane to move Greg Olsen out of that number one booth with Burkhardt.
Yeah, he's the one that's going to be screwed because, I mean, just because Tom Brady's Tom Brady doesn't mean he could talk football and be interesting.
Like, I'll make the argument of all of sports television, Greg Olsen may be the one I enjoy listening to the most as an analyst.
And he's come a long way.
He has.
His first year.
He was rough.
It was, but he,
when he was still kind of a player, too. He did those, like, fill-ins, like, on his bye week or when he got hurt
That's
or something.
That's right, yeah. He's doing a great job, I think.
And he'll be better when he becomes more detached because he'll be able to call out players a little more when they mess up or coaches or whatever. I still sensed even halfway through the season last year, he was holding back a little bit. By the time we got to the Super Bowl, the fact he was calling out the officials about the holding call, go ahead, say it, rightly so, on the Eagles Super Bowl. Yeah.
It could have went either. It's Super Bowl. I mean,
only cost them the game.
Yeah.
Never mind that JG, never made an adjustment, But yeah, I'd rather listen to him than just about anybody else right now.
Yeah. Especially Romo. I used to like Romo.
Romo's awful. Romo's awful now.
Man, his first year, I was like, man, this is interesting. But his shtick is up. and he talks over.
And we're talking booth guys. Like Charles is different. Charles and the inside the NBA crew is different because it's post game. But the booth guys.
In the booth, right.
Like Smoltz is the main guy for baseball. He's okay.
I think he's pretty good. They got the, non-player, with Joe Davis, his name?
Yeah.
I think he's real good.
Yeah, as the play-by-play guy, right. He's great.
Yeah.
But of the color analyst, I think that I would have Olsen. The funny part is Olsen's good in that role, and Davis does the number two, and I'm trying to remember who Davis's partner on football is.
I'm not sure.
I think it's Darryl Johnson. Moose?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But anyway, and there's some guys who drive me crazy, too. Like Stan Van Gundy, watching a little bit last night, Stan Van Gundy is so unlike his brother because Stan Van Gundy drives me insane, and Jeff Van Gundy, I could hear him read a phone book and laugh and learn something.
Stan Van Gundy has his funny moments, but I think he talks more than Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan combined.
Yeah. And it's almost like, Stan, how about like some analysis here?
Exactly. Not saying Tyler Hero needs to be back in the game because he has the worst fashion.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's right. Whatever.
Like to me, like he mentioned Miller and Harlan, I thought at the end of that game last night, I went back and watched it this morning because I told you, I took allergy medicine and started drifting towards the end. It's one of those, you take the Benadryl and you're like,
Oh, yeah.
So I went back and watched it this morning. I thought Kevin Harlan is so good doing games like that. And the fact that he kind of had it right away, what that whole sequence with White and whether it was good or not. He's kind of did the, was it good in time? And then he saw the official make the hand gesture, which I don't think anybody else kind of caught because there was no reaction when the official went, yes. And then, was said they were going to go to the video.
I guess they didn't want to get too excited just in case.
Yeah. So, our little breakdown on things. 610-632-0975. We're talking Phillies and Sixers and how the Celtics Heat series impacts the Sixers. When we come back, Matt and I will talk. All right, I'm going to bring the Taylor Swift thing up.
Okay.
And how people have just lost their minds. They have. I mean, when it gets to a problem, we'll get to it on the other side. So it's a Sunday. It's Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're having a good one. Ray Dunn's coming in here at 3. And he'll pretty much take you until, I think, Tuesday, right?
Yes, continuously.
Continuously.
Yes.
Every moment, every hour.
Ray Dunn from 3 p.m. till 6
a.m. on Tuesday morning. Will be part of the welcoming committee.
With one bottle of water.
Pretty much. I'm Kevin. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.